Talking Broncos with Mile High Sports, Cody Rourke on the Jim Davis Show.
Covers the Broncos for Mile High Sports, also has the Locked On Broncos podcast. He's our Broncos insider, Cody Rourke. Good morning, Cody. It's been a while. How are you doing, my friend?
Oh, Jim, you know, the build-up to the draft, it's exhausting. It's good. But you know what? It's great to be back on the team.
Well, it's always great to get your insight about what's coming up with the draft tomorrow night, but also a lot of other storylines that are going on. I don't know where to start here with Zach Wilson, new uniforms. I feel like I need like a spin the wheel and pick the topic kind of thing to start with. Let's start with Zach Wilson. Let's do that first, where the Broncos make the trade to get the former first-round pick of the Jets, Zach Wilson, the former BYU quarterback. My initial take was, you got to throw arms at the problem. You're not giving up a whole lot. If it doesn't work out, it's not the end of the world. I don't think it's a terrible deal for the Broncos. And we'll see. Can Sean Payton fix Zach Wilson? But once again, I also don't think the Broncos can stand pat and go, well, Jared Stidham, Zach Wilson, Ben DiNucci, we're good. I don't think they can sit pat with the draft coming up tomorrow.
Yeah. No, I think they can't stand pat with the draft, obviously, with Zach Wilson coming. And look, you mentioned you just swap picks there. You don't have to give anything significant up to get him. Sean Payton is the type of guy I feel like if Zach Wilson comes in and lights it up, is going to look back and maybe fire off some more comments toward Nathaniel Hackett about the coaching job that he did last year. The thing with Zach, he's a young guy. He's obviously, there's several quarterbacks in this year's draft that are going to be the same age as him. But I think the question that we run into is, can Zach Wilson come in and compete? Now, that's the idea, Jim. The idea is that he's going to come in and compete for the starting job. But here's the deal. I think so many people are like, oh, no, this means, you know, with Zach Wilson in the fray now, this means that the Broncos, they're not going to go with a quarterback in this year's NFL draft. I still think, Jim, Denver is going to be very heavily involved in quarterback in round one, whether that's J.J. McCarthy, whether that is Bo Nix. I don't think that changes. And the reason I say that is because you look at the quarterback roster as is. Before Zach Wilson, it was Ben DiNucci. It was Jared Stidham. Those guys don't have any contract length past this season. And same thing with Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson doesn't have any contract length past this season. So Denver still doesn't have a long-term answer at quarterback. Now, I think what we can see here, if Denver goes with a rookie, that's going to be the guy maybe this year or even, you know, more than likely next year if that's not this year. But the reality is Denver's looking for a backup quarterback as well. Is it going to be Jared Stidham? Is it going to be Zach Wilson? I think that is probably the larger scope of this whole situation. So I don't think Broncos country should read too much into it. I think it is a low-risk, potential, you know, maybe rewarding type of move for them.
Do you see a scenario where, say, the Broncos take Bo Nix, but then they look at next year? Let's say Dak Prescott's available. That's where Denver goes, that they get a rookie, they see how it works. We talked about it with Sean Payton. Ian Book was the only rookie he's ever started. That's not an area that he's had a tremendous amount of history in terms of developing a young quarterback. And let's say Prescott is out there for the Broncos to bring in as a free agent. Or are they looking for the solution now in 2024, not, yeah, we'll see if something works this year, Zach Wilson, Bo Nix, whatever, but we're really looking to next year where there's somebody like a Dak Prescott that could be available?
Yeah, I don't think, you mentioned it, obviously Dak Prescott does have some proven success in the NFL. He's going to be due for a new contract. I don't see the Broncos getting back into that game after the whole Russell Wilson saga. Now, obviously it was a little different with Russ because they had to trade for Russ, which included a lot of capital. Ideally, with Prescott being a free agent, he's going to cost a lot of money anyways. And I don't know if Denver's in a position to pay a guy. They want to pay a quarterback right now. I think that they want to find a guy right now and develop him. I think that they have a lot of confidence in Davis Webb, this coaching staff, Pete Carmichael now coming in, Joe Lombardi. They want to put a system in place for this young guy to come in, and then they're going to build around what he can do, and they're going to build this team around him going forward, because next year Denver's anticipated to have close to around $100 million in salary cap space to operate with. Obviously, there's going to be a factor into, I think Broncos fans should expect a Patrick Surtain extension happening in season, and then obviously they're going to work to extend Quinn Meinerz as well, but they're going to have a lot of room to operate with going into next offseason, Jim, and I think that they're really going to focus on building around a young guy. Every move that they've made so far seems to indicate that could be the plan for them here. It seems more likely that's going to be the path that they take.
Cody Rourke with us, Mile High Sports Locked On Broncos podcast, our Broncos insider on the Team Sports Network. So tomorrow night, the draft in Detroit. What do you think happens tomorrow night? Do they stay at 12? Do they trade up? Do they trade back? Who do they pick tomorrow night?
I think they trade down from 12 to maybe 16 or 17, and I think that they acquire they get Bo Nix. And then obviously I think they get a mid-round two pick, and then they go and they get another talented player, potentially a wide receiver. That's my vibe that I've kind of got the feeling on, Jim, and I think that there's a lot of likelihood there. But let's say there's another scenario here. Let's say Denver believes that Bo Nix will be there in round two. I see them trading down, acquiring an early round two pick, taking a skill player or, you know, an offensive tackle or, you know, even an edge rusher at this point, and then getting Bo Nix in round two early on, however that may look. I think that's going to be something for Broncos country to keep an eye on here. They have a lot of options, though, Jim, which is nice. I mean, it's, you know, Denver's sitting there at 12. There are a lot of teams that are rumored to want to be moving up, and so Denver's phone is going to be ringing there. I'm very excited to see what they decide to do now. Should they trade up? I don't think that should be the course of action here, but we already heard George and Sean say that they don't mind. Like, they're not afraid of doing that. Like, if there's a guy that can change the landscape of their franchise, they're going to go and they're going to be as aggressive as possible to be able to bring him in. So the opportunities are endless, Jim. It's going to be a wild first round tomorrow.
Of these three quarterbacks, J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix, Michael Penix Jr., if you were George Payton and they were all three there for you, who would you get?
Well, that's the tough one. I really like Bo Nix, but, you know, you mentioned J.J. McCarthy. If J.J.'s there, I mean, I would look at J.J. I mean, he's been part of a structure that, you know, has had a lot of winning. Now, a lot of people, I think the biggest knock that people have on him is, well, you know, they didn't win because of him. They had a strong defense and a really good run game, but J.J. made throws within the structure of the offense in which, you know, they needed him to. And, you know, I think a lot of people say, well, he's not a great deep ball passer. The reality of the situation is Denver had one of the best deep ball passers in the league last year in Russell Wilson, and they couldn't hit the intermediate stuff. J.J. is a guy who can stand in the pocket. He can hit the middle routes. He can hit up the seam, and he can, you know, stay there and hit those intermediate routes to the rate in which Sean Payton wants. He's a high-level processor. Same thing with Bo Nix. To be honest with you, I think I would be between Bo Nix and J.J. McCarthy. I'm not sold on Michael Penix Jr. being a good fit for the Broncos. I don't even think I'm gonna be sold on him being a first-round quarterback. I think he goes later. I think he drops out of round one. So for me, I'm going to go with Bo. You know, like I said, I've watched a lot of Oregon games, Jim. I think Bo's a high-level processor. You know, a lot of people critique him the way that they did Justin Herbert coming out, though all he does is throw screen passes. You don't throw 4,500 yards and 45 touchdowns by just throwing screen passes. He's a three-level thrower inside the West Coast-style offense that they had with Will Stein there. Did a really good job operating their system, and I think he'd be exactly what Sean Payton wants as well. And there's a lot of, like, I mean, you look at all the sports books, Jim, they're favoring Bo Nix to Denver. That's the favorite right now. So we'll see where the money's at, and we'll see how things kind of play out here.
One of the things that I hear about Bo Nix and from some of our listeners is that, well, you look at the numbers when he was at Auburn, and they weren't great. And, yeah, he had two really good years at Oregon. But anyways, he's basically Jarrett Stidham when you look at the numbers at Auburn. But I have to say, but you can't take out the Oregon years. You can't go, well, this is what he did at Auburn. The 2 years at Oregon, he was sensational. And I just think you can't just take that and say, well, we got to set that aside. Well, no, you can't, because that's part of his resume. That's what he did. He's trending in the right direction. I like
100%.
Yeah, I like Bo Nix over McCarthy, because I tend to agree with Kurt Warner in that, like, things about J.J. McCarthy, would like to see him probably stay in college football one more year, wherever that might be. I just don't feel like you're right. He made the throws. He made the plays. He does a good job of processing defenses, but he never had to win games for Michigan. And that's the one thing that Kurt Warner talked about, and that he never had to go out and win a game for them. He didn't cost them games, didn't lose them games, but they were so good with the run game, the offensive line, the defense. He didn't have to win games by himself, that he had to go out in fourth quarter and make plays. I think that's my concern about him, is the word Bo Nix. He's done that. He's been there, done that, with that kind of success at Oregon. I just feel better about Bo Nix if you're talking about these two guys. There's a lot of criticism about Penix, about the way he throws the ball. I'm less concerned about that. I just think Bo Nix is a guy that tends to fit what Sean Payton wants to do. He seems to me, I didn't say he's a Drew Brees clone, but he kind of fits what Sean's looking for in terms of quick release, accurate, reads defenses, processes quickly, and it's just going to make the right decisions.
Yeah, 100%. And look, you got to stop listening to that Jared Frazier guy texting the show all the time, pushing the Michael Penix agenda there. But, you know, the one thing I would say here, another thing about Bo Nix is, you know, I think a lot of people are like, well, you know, they are right. Like, you're looking at a lot of people ignoring what he's done at Oregon, and they're just focused on Auburn. But you look at, you know, the Auburn system, like, he's a guy that's had a different offensive coordinator every year of his college career, and he's done pretty well for himself. But you look at Auburn, where he wasn't the greatest. He had some highs and lows. But then you look at Oregon, his most recent body of work, he's shown tremendous development. He's shown tremendous growth. You know, the NFL draft isn't where a guy is coming in exactly who he is. You know, obviously you're going to be getting a good player, but can he grow to become even better? I think Bo has a very, very large sample size of demonstrating the ability to get better year in and year out, despite changes, despite going through different OCs every year of his college career, and to be able to put up the numbers that he did. And on top of that, he's a leader. He's a guy that, you know, people in that huddle, they look to, they listen to, and I think that's what Sean Payton is looking for. I think he's enamored a little bit with a lot of different options here in this year's NFL draft, and I mean, like I said, we don't know how the board is going to fall, but I'm very curious to see how it goes and really how Denver reacts to, I'd say, maybe the first four picks of this year's draft.
Mile High Sports, Locked On Broncos podcast host Cody Rourke with us on the Team Sports Network draft tomorrow in Detroit. And, of course, Broncos picked up the fifth-year option on PS2. Cortland Sutton did not show up to the voluntary workouts, which it's what the name says. It's voluntary. But he certainly wants to get a new deal done. Do you see, and I know that Jeremy Fowler from ESPN reported on this, it's also on your website, Mile High Sports, that the Broncos received some interest in Cortland Sutton from other teams, but Denver does not plan on trading him. Could there be a possibility that that's not entirely accurate, that the Broncos to maybe move up in the draft or to add some draft capital, that Cortland Sutton does get traded tomorrow?
Yeah, I think there's a possibility, you know, Jim. And look, obviously, Cortland, you know, you mentioned it's voluntary. He wants a new deal. I don't think he's going to get a large sum of money in terms of, you know, maybe what he's looking for. I think his value, you know, I mean, ideally, you're looking for $12 or $13 million a year right now, which is based on the current market. I think we saw with Gabe Davis and some other guys right now around the NFL in this offseason cycle. But what you are looking for is, you know, Cortland is a guy who's coming off of a 10-touchdown performance, you know, this past season. He was really the only producer in Denver's offense. So he's got a valid point there. But it's also to the point where Denver themselves, you know, they may be priced out. They may just say, you know what, we will look to trade him. They may, I mean, it could even involve, Jim, is swapping a first-round pick, obviously, in this year's draft, like swapping picks with somebody and then including Cortland to get a back-end round-two pick. I mean, there could be a different, you know, multitude of options, or even like a third- or fourth-round pick. I mean, that could be something that they look at as well, which would then, you know, leave room for them to maybe probably go after a wide receiver in this year's draft as well. So I think that there is, if I had to estimate, I would say there's probably a good 50-50 chance that Cortland could be traded tomorrow during the draft or maybe even on day two. So we'll see where things go. I know that Denver, this could be also a move for them to maybe drive up the price a little bit. But, yeah, you know, Cortland wants a new contract. And I don't think he's going to report until he gets one. So it's either that or, you know, I think he'll be traded.
You loved Jaleel McLaughlin last year for the draft. Denver got him. Who do you like this year? Is there a player that you really, you've watched, you've scouted a little bit, and you go, man, I hope Denver gets this guy?
Ooh, yeah. Well, I don't know if he's going to go drafted or undrafted, but that cornerback from the Canadian Football League, Quantez Stiggers, you know, going straight from the high school to the CFL, like, he's a talented guy, developmental guy, has, you know, I think some work that you have to do with him, but I like Jim Leonard being in the situation that he's in here with the Broncos coaching DBs and obviously being the passing game coordinator. I still think Denver needs some help at corner. I think I like, you know, obviously Riley Moss and Damari Mathis, but I think you need to add more depth to the position outside of just Levi Wallace, who's just, is a starter so far through a good portion of his NFL career. You need to add more bodies to that room because you're also going to need guys who can play special teams. And if you got some of these guys starting, you know, they're not going to be able to play special teams. So get a guy like Quantez Stiggers in there. He's a guy that I've been very, very high on from a defensive back standpoint.
Cody Rourke with us today on the Team Sports Network. Finally, do you like the new unis?
it's up for debate. I mean, there's so many different combinations, Jim. I'll tell you what I don't like. I don't like orange on orange with this current jersey.
Ding, ding, ding. Buckeye, we all agree. That looks
ugly. That's a lot of orange.
That is atrocious. Please, dude, don't wear that uniform, Denver. Don't.
No, please.
Roll out Zach Wilson in that uniform.
My favorite combinations would be, I like orange with the white pants. I like the white with the orange pants. I like the white with the blue pants. But I also like the blue with the white pants. I think that's a really cool look, too. Aside from that, I don't feel as strong about them. I will say this, though. The throwbacks, perfect. I mean, why couldn't that be the permanent uniform going forward? I don't understand it. Hopefully, that's the case. I know that the NFL, they might levy up some rules here in the next couple of years. So maybe Denver can make that their permanent uniform, because that right there, they did a tremendous job with that one. The new uniforms, not so sold on myself.
I'm with you on that. The throwbacks, the 77 throwbacks, they're modernized just a touch, right? I mean, there's just a little bit of a different, but they hold to the classic aesthetic of those, that first Super Bowl team. And yeah, I just, that to me, that's the one. Just go with that. Just go with that, Denver, and maybe have one other uniform or two. Don't try to be Oregon. Okay, it's all right. You don't have to try to be Oregon.
Like Boise State's, honestly. Like, that's the thing I looked at. I was like, why does this look like a Boise State college football uniform?
The multitude of combinations that they have. But you're right. Color scheme wise, yeah, it's very Boise State-ish. You're right about that, particularly with the blue. Yeah. Even though it's a little bit darker shade of blue than Boise State. But, yeah, I think we all agree.
We'll see.
Give us the throwbacks. That's all we want. Just give us the throwbacks and just put the rest of the stuff in the closet, okay? All right.
I'm with you.
Cody, appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
Appreciate you guys. Have a good one. And as always, go Tigers.
All right. Cody York, Mile High Sports, Locked On Broncos podcast. Yeah, we all agree.
I want the orange over orange.